This audio presentation is the teaching of guest speaker Pastor Kahu Kenneth Mukuakane. This message was delivered on December 30th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Mukuakane.
Day of the year. And you know what? God is so good that He has given me a break. Yeah, you guys all happy. You don't have to listen to me. Yes? Nobody quick and say amen? Yeah? But we have a very, very special guest speaker all the way from the island of Oahu, all the way from Kauai Hau Church. If you wasn't here yesterday, he had us in our seats, at the edge of our seats, waiting on every word for 2 hours. And it was just an awesome, powerful message. And I know you're going to get the same of that today, a little bit different. But would you help me and join me in welcoming Kahu Kenneth Mukuakane.
Is to be with each other. So, this is a little different for me, but anyway, let me come up over here. Thank you for having me. I've been serving over as a senior pastor for Kauai Hau Church since May of this year. I don't know how I got it. You know, my... That's right. You know, I was really excited because what happened was... I used to have another career, and my career spanned like 40 years, and I was pretty good at it, and I did it for a long time, but what happened was, all of a sudden, God said, time for you to come work for me. I went, are you kidding me? I was like at the top of the food chain, and you're calling me now. Why never call me when I was at the bottom of the food chain? He goes, no, because I needed you at the top so that I could show you that you really wasn't at the top. You was really at the bottom going back up so that I could show you what your real job was supposed to be. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And I'm sorry, I'm going to be running all over the place because I'm a runner all over the place kind of guy. And I wanted to actually show you folks a couple of things that in my life have come to fruition. And one of those is that I just allow God to use me in whatever He wants to do. So, and so this is taken from a little story by a guy named Paul McCartney. He was kind of, I don't know if you know him, he wasn't that famous. But he was kind of okay. But what he did was he used to write songs, and I write songs, so I can relate to these songwriters. And he wrote this one song based on his mother, and his mother's name was Malia. In England, they call it Mary. So, and so he was talking about it, and so he said, you know, we're really poor people, and my mom went to work, and my dad went to work. We didn't have a car. We stayed in a small flat. It was a little apartment. And then they just subsisted, you know, whatever they could. Unfortunately, at 14, his mom died. And, you know, for a kid at that age, that's really impactful. Because what he said was, and then he started a band when he was 22. And then their band became pretty famous. But by the end of their career, they were having problems because now all his bandmates had girlfriends, living with the girlfriends, and he was still by himself and wondering, what is going on with my life? And he was having a problem because they were ready to break up, and he was trying to figure out, what is he going to be doing for the rest of his life if this group breaks up, because that's all he knows about. And he said, and then his mother came to his mind. And he said, the problem with his mother coming to his mind, he was 14, and now he's maybe about 28. The memory of a person that has passed away slowly fades, and you don't remember their face, he said, except by the photograph. And that story kind of hit me because my dad, who's from Opehikau, had passed away back in 2006, so that's 12 years ago. And so when I heard the story about, you know, his mom passing away and he couldn't figure out what her life, or even how her face, the clarity of her face, it was starting to fade from his memory. And then one night he had a dream. And in his dream, his mother came to him, and it was so clear, her face, the lines on her face, the brightness in her eyes. And then she just gave him some little words that stuck with him. And she says, don't worry about anything, because everything will just happen. And he said, he didn't understand. So he went to the piano, and his mother was talking to him in this song. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, whispering words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. You know the song?
Yeah.
Well, sing along. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And the reason why I sing this song is because I had 2 weeks to prepare my message, and I got no message today. And so God said, "Bro, no worry, just let it be." I went, okay, shoot them. Because the thing is, I was noticing that we kind of do church, you know? We got all the rigmaroles going. It's called traditions. You know, you got to sing the song first. You got to collect the... Sorry, I talk a little bit Hawaiian, but you got to collect the tithings. You do the prayers, the obligatory prayer. You get going with life, and then everybody goes shaka oi oi, and away we go. You know, that's church. So we don't do Christianity. We do what we call churchianity, you know. And we go through this thing over and over again. Hi. I was wondering if you could put the last song that you sang up. Yeah, no, there we go. Oh, hey, cut it out. You know, when we sing songs, we sing the song. We don't feel the song. You know why we don't feel the song? Because we don't know the words. We barely even know the melody of the song. So I don't want you to know the melody of the song. I want you to put the song in your heart. So let's say the line, each line by itself. Go ahead. Up. Well, actually, the highest place is supposed to go up, but they cheated. So let's say the first line. We
place you on the highest place.
Okay. We place you on the highest place. Where is the highest place on earth? Mauna Kea. Himalaya, Kilimanjaro, Everest, everywhere that is the highest place, that's where we put God. For Hawaiians, we call that the Wau Akua. It's the area where Akua, or God, lives. That's the highest place. Let's go to the next one. For. Oh my gosh. You are a great high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus. Okay. The story of the Bible is there's this dude, okay? And his name is Moke. Remember Moke? Yeah, Moses. Okay, so Moke. I call him the first immigrant because remember when he was going to get killed as own baby because they wanted to kill him. And so what did she do? She would pull him in one little va'a and she would go push him across the river. Across the river, the other side was called Egypt. So he immigrated to Egypt. And the sister and this girl would take him, and now he went to get Hanai. He got raised by the Pharaoh of all people. I mean, one little immigrant kid with nobody went to get Hanai by the Pharaoh. All of a sudden, now he's big boy, and then God comes to him and goes, "You think you're big? Let me show you where you're at." Sound like me, I think. Anyway, he all of a sudden came up. And then God told him, "Poverty, 400 years of my people here being slaves in Egypt. We're going to take them all out." Okay, let me tell you about Moses and the Jewish people. They're in Egypt. Now, me and two friends, we can sneak out of the house. Try do that with over 1 million people. Hey, we're going to sneak out when the Pharaoh not looking. What? Are you kidding me? So he was trying for sneak out, and guess what? The Pharaoh would catch up every single time. And they had to come back. Like, "Oh, sorry, 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 sorry." So what did he do? Send locusts, he make the blood, he put the blood in the water, he did all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, the last thing he did was what? He told him, "Kill the animal and put it over your home," and that's what is called the Passover. The spirit of death will come and pass over. So Moke took all the people out. They went across, and then they got to this water. And they went, "Uh-oh, how are we going to get here? We no more boat." He goes, "Ain't no worry, get them." All of a sudden, the thing went like this. They went through the ocean, and then all the Israelites, right? They were coming in, boom, the thing, water. Guess what? The good guys won, right? There is no good guy. God doesn't have good guy and bad guy. Because the guys who didn't die that day had ohana. You don't think that Ohana was crying because their son, their brother, the husband, went Moke. That's the life. But Moke took them. He's going to take them to the promised land. But they were on one, sound like Gilligan's Island. Remember, they was on a three-hour tour that went around for days. That was Moke and the Israelites. They was on one an 11-day trip that took them how long? 40 days. Are you kidding me? Well, God was with them. So God was in this tabernacle, you know, the temple. So they had to set up what they call God in a box. Right? "Oh, we're going over here. Oh, wait, take God with us. We put him over here." But only one person could handle God. And that was called the high priest. The very first high priest, his name was Aaron. Aaron was one of those high priests that we're talking about. "For you are the great high priest." Only once a year could you sacrifice. So when you sacrifice the lamb, they had over 1 million people. And every person get how many sins? Kind of choke, yeah? So for every sin, you gotta kill an animal. Just think, 1 million times like 20. You gotta kill every year 20 million animals. Are you kidding again? So they did this representative. They would kill only a little bit to wash the blood away for 1 year. It's like you guys get one year pass to go drive your car, and then you got to go back to the DMV and go get the thing again for one more year. You was a good boy and girl. Yeah, pay your fee, and then you one more year. That's the same thing. The problem with high priests is that they die. And so you got to start all over again finding another high priest. "You are the great high priest." It's the coming of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ became the last high priest. And when his blood was shed, guess what? He died. And he would have been just like everybody else, except he incarnated. He resurrected. And when he resurrected, that means that he is a forever being. And forever, the blood is pono, it's good. And so he is the great high priest. And forevermore, our sins are washed away because Jesus' blood offering never washes away. Because Jesus is here today and tomorrow and forever, unlike Aaron and the rest of the high priests. So in this second line, you are the great high priest. That's what we're singing about. We place you high above all else. Why do we place you high above all else? It's because in the Bible, God tells us about all of these things that come along and all of the hakaka, the problems that we have, all of the sins that we create, all this heva. But what we do in the end is we praise the advent of the King of Kings. And that is what we just got through. Because he came and he will come again. Did you know that Jesus is going to come again? The word come. In English, it has two meanings. Actually, you got two verbs. It's a verb that has two kinds of things. It means future conditional, and it also means present verb. So, come. Okay, I'm coming. Wait, you gonna come? Oh yeah, oh, wait, I'm gonna come. So, it's the kind of thing where it's either or, no, it's and. God has already come, and God will come again. God is the was, the is, and the is forevermore. And so the high priest is right here. So we place you high on everything else because you are the God. And only God can do that. We together are what we call the people of was. What? The people of was, yeah. I was this and I was that, but I better now. That's what I thought. Oh, I used to be here, but oh, I'm better now. I was junk, all the athletes, right? Oh, I used to be mean. I could run the fastest mile 40 years ago. I was the prettiest girl in school 50 years ago. Oh, I was Miss Hawaii back in 1969. So we're the people of was, but God is the God of is. Was and is to come. Is to come. Oh my goodness. We place you high because you are consistent. We are was people. God is the is person. And we come to you. Why do we come to you? Because kingdom come. We are coming into the kingdom. We're going there, but we have already arrived. Because kingdom come, Christ came. God in the flesh has come. That is what the Advent was about. The Advent just means coming, the coming. And guess what? Get two Advents, the second coming of Christ. In Thessalonians, it talks about the second coming of Christ. And it talks about the saints. The cloud of witnesses that have come before us will be raised up first. Not us who are living, but the ones God calls sleeping. So if you are a believer, you believe that the Bible and the Word is true. We sang about it this morning. Your Word is true. Remember that stuff you guys were doing? Your Word is true. Whether you believed it or not, that's what was going on. God's Word is true. And if God's Word is true, then He will raise up the saints first. And the body, the physical, will join again with the spirit. And thereafter, the rest of us will rise and worship at your feet. Funny how we say, well, I'm going to worship at your feet. How many of you get problems? Okay, maybe I don't want to get problems. But I remember I had problems. I used to go to worship on the feet. Oh, God, I get problems here. I give this to you. Your problem's still going on. You go, what the heck is going on? You know what? If you ain't going to take them, give me that dang thing back. That's the problem with what we're doing with worship. How can we worship, but then all of a sudden, if God doesn't do it on your time, you take them back, and then you own the burden again. And when you own the burden, guess what? You're not blessed because God cannot bless because you took the burden back on yourself. When Jesus said, Take my yoke upon you. God is showing you how to take all of your burdens and place it at his feet and walk away. Because in his time, how long is one of God's days? About 1,000 years, right? So how long is one of God's breath? More than our lifetime. How were we created? In the image of God. Really? That's like, oh wow, you know, like a space cadet, right? I was born in the image of God. Really? Look in Genesis 2:7. In Genesis 2:7, it says, how did God make man? He took dirt, and then he breathed. Ha! He breathed his breath of life into the dirt and created every one of us. You. Each of us has the breath of God in us. Every breath we take. Remember the lyrics? Every move we make. It sounds like a secular song. What song is that? Police? Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. Funny how prophetic that is, because God is watching us. A pretty good idea. I don't even have one sermon for telling you. I said, go give them. But that takes us out of churchianity, and it takes us into Christianity. But you know what? I'm not a Christian. I never come to church to feel good. I came to church to feel God. I didn't come to church over here to go yak yak with everybody. I came here to yak yak with my great God. And so when we do that, the first thing we need to do is pray. And that's the reason for prayer. And what do we do after each prayer? We say what? Okay, how did he say amen in Korea? How did he say amen in the Spanish language? Amen. How did he say amen in Japanese? Amen. That is one of the few words that doesn't get translated. That is God's great message, is that amen is amen all across the world. We are a people of amen. We're going to learn something right here today. As the people of amen, let's try singing this. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Hard the words. Okay, we'll try anyway. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. So that you guys don't feel shame. And you know what shame is? Shame is egotistical. Let's all close our eyes so that, you know what? It's you and God right now. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. And we're going to change the third line now. Keep your eyes closed. Because God hasn't only spoken, God is still speaking to me. And the me is you, okay? So God's still speaking. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God's still speaking. God's still speaking. Let the church say amen. Thank you so much. Because we are a people of amen. We are a people of prayer. We are a people that came here to worship God. We didn't come here to perform for God. We came here so that we can sup with God, we can sit with God, we can lay our burdens to God, and we can walk away because the God that we just tithed is supposed to do the job. That's what God told us. He said, all I like, which is all mine anyway, right? In Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. What? Everything in it? You mean everything I got is yours? Yes, said the Lord. And I give them to you freely. Freely, freely, I will give. And so everything that the Lord gives us is for us to use. But guess what? We didn't put the word, the two letters, A, B, in the front of that one. Funny how we add on to God, right? God tell us, you can use, nah, I'm going abuse. Every time God does something, we add something to it. Because we like add us into it. And God goes, no need, because lava, you know, enough. Everything that I do for you is more than enough. You guys remember Puleakahaku, the Lord's Prayer? It says, give me this day. Wait, try that again. Give us this day. Let me hear it. Give us this day. Okay, our daily bread. God didn't want us to pray. Give us the day, all our bread, so that we can go put them away inside our closet. So that I get food for 5 months, just in case. You know, like how when the thunder and the storms come over here, then we got to go run across the other side to Costco so we can load up on all this junk just to find out the bugger was, and then what, we stuck with all this. Get on your knees. God said, I will supply your daily needs. But we don't trust God because we like add us to God all the time. God doesn't want us. God wants our obedience. And to show you the obedience, it's like, I remember this phrase that we all used to say, oh, let's take it to the edge. Remember when you're young? Oh, go take it to the edge. Yeah, right, because you know why? Up until the edge of the cliff, you're always in control. When you go over, huli maka flip over the cliff, you out of control. But that's what God wants us to do. It's not take it to the edge. He lets us go, right over the edge. You know why? Because God is the one that's going to come and swoop and pick you up. That's what the God that I believe in does. He doesn't want you to go to the edge. He wants you to go over the edge. Because when you go over the edge, only then can you see the power of God come and swoop you up and magnify your life to do His will. That's the God that I chose to serve when He went, knock, knock, guess who's coming to dinner? Is that the God that you folks want to serve? That's the God that we're worshiping today. Then let's not come to church. Let's come to God. You know, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about so many things. And I love Paul. You know why I love Paul? Because he hated Christians. And he hated Christians so much that he killed Christians. And then all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, he's there riding his little horsey. And then the bright light came and poof, and he fell down and he got blinded. And then Jesus came and he goes, who are you? Who are you? What do you mean, who me? I'm the one that used to bashing. I'm the one whose people that used to killing. He goes, oh, you. You know, it's like Jesus is talking to him. And all of a sudden, from a Christian basher, he became one of the greatest disciples of the Word of God ever in our Bible. The New Testament contains over 3/4 of the works of the Apostle Paul. And he wasn't even one of the 12 that Jesus picked. You know the thing about Jesus? He didn't ask for much from us. Because he never, you know, like us, you know, you get to an age, you go, oh, I got to go mentor somebody. I'll go pick that one. He goes, oh, why? Oh, well, he's young. He looked kind of viral. I think I can get him for his life. Jesus never take one like how we like take one. He would take 12. And he only did them for about little over 3 years he taught them. In 3 years, hey, how many of you graduated from elementary school? What are you laughing? Some never, let me see. How many of you graduated from intermediate school or middle school? All right. And a few of you from high school. How many of you went graduate from church? What's up with that? Jesus went graduate these buggers in 3 years. But guess what? Did Jesus have 100% of his students pass? Not even Jesus had 100% of his almana pass the test. So he was a 90 percentile kind of teacher. So if you think he was a 90 percentile teacher, you don't think that he gonna give us grace if we never make him all the way? Remember that story about the starfish? There's this kid, and he was walking, and he's looking, and he saw this old man running down the path, and then he saw this other guy, one Hawaiian guy, right on. He's still over there, doing this thing, and it was still kind of dark, you know, in the morning, doing this. And so he saw the guy running, and he stopped, and he was looking at the Hawaiian guy, and he said, "What you doing?" He said, "Oh, I said, throwing all these starfish back in the ocean." He goes, "Why?" He says, "Because the buggers going mucky when I do them." He goes, "Get thousands of these buggers all over the place. What difference going to make?" The guy grabbed one starfish. He goes, "Made a difference to that one." That's the life that God wants us for discipleship. Could matter to that one that you took care of us. That's what Jesus, in his example, was trying to do. Be an example to those in your community. Be an example to those in your family. Be an example to yourself. And as you traverse the journey of life, you, as I said yesterday, you may be the only living Bible that the people outside ever going to read. So are they going to read the God of wonder through you? Are they going to read the God of life through you? Or are they ever going to read anything out of you? Be that living Bible. God wants you to be the walking example. Let me show you how God works. Anybody own Bibles in this church or what? You guys don't bring Bibles? Oh, good, the pastor brought Bible. I cannot believe it. You know, if the pastor never bring Bible, something wrong with this. No, wait. Except you. Anybody have? Okay, open to the book of Psalms. Open to the book of Psalms. Any book. And just poke your finger on one verse and read the verse to me. I thought it was clear. Yeah. Okay. Funny how they only make guitars for right-handers. It's so wrong. God give your righteousness to the king. Sorry.
God give your justice to the king.
Wow. Thank you. You know, I remember when I was called to serve. I was wondering, God, why you call me? And I remember when my wife, when she was giving birth. It was there for a support, no? Yeah. So I never have my little baby's name. And so I was asking my friend for help. And he goes, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I wanted to talk about something about Moses. Because I like Moke. He's a man. You know?" And he says, "What do you want to talk about?" Because he brought down the Ten Commandments. And remember when he brought them down and the people when collect all of their jewelry and they would melt them down and then they made the golden calf. I like that you guys know all these stories. Kind of cool, the stories. So anyway, so Moses came down and God was kind of angry, right? He like whack him. And so Moses cried out and he says, God, my people have been in captivity for 400 years. You don't think that people in captivity for that long will get attrition, which means they won't get all of the traditions from the other culture because the other culture will wipe out their own culture. Sound like Hawaiians. Whoa, I won't go there. Okay, so they will wipe out all the other culture. So what God did was he forgave his people. 400 years they were in captivity. And so, justice. So when I named my little kid, his name is Kaleowalui Kapono. And it just means the voice that cries out passionately for the sake of righteousness. And what that means is that you build kuleana, or you build and you instill responsibility into the walk of the child. Because I want my son, when he grows up, to be that speaks for those who cannot speak for themselves, to lift up those who cannot lift up themselves, to be the gap, the bridge, so that those that cannot cross over by themselves can cross over. And that, in its form, is called justice. And the stuff that you talked about with the king and his son, the son will walk that in righteousness because the king... If I build responsibility into my kid, guess what? How he going to learn? How any kid learn? Watching the father. So if I build the responsibility into my kid, that means I have to be the walking example. If you want God to live in other people, you have to be the same example. I was going to sing something, but forget it. You see what I'm talking about? Let us be the walking example. Every word that it says in the Bible is good for teaching, rebuking. Everything else. Every single scripture in the Bible has a story. Why? Because we are a storied people. Is my time up? Good, because I don't care. I came for do God. I never come for do church. And I flew hundreds of miles to come over here. So you guys sit down and you guys listen. Because the part is, God brought me here to just retell you the story of how faithful you are. And to say thank you for your life of faithfulness. And for your life of evangelism. Because our job here, like I told you, you ain't graduated from high school, but you never graduated from college. The College of Hard Knocks. Because your idea of church is to come over here, sit down, and listen to me entertain you. Listen to Pastor entertain you. We're not here to entertain you. We are here to put the Spirit of God into you, to put the fire of God into you, so that you can get off your chair and get out into the world and do what we call the Great Commission. And the Great Commission, as followers, when Jesus first found his disciples, the first two that he came across, he was by the water, and he saw the little boat going, put, 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 across with the two boys and the father. And what did he tell them? Hoi, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let us repeat it. Follow me, and
I will make you fishers of men.
Say it again. Okay, he never said, follow me, period. He said, follow me, and I will make who?
You.
Look at the mirror when God tells. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. So in Honolulu, where I live, guess where all the people go fishing? Safeway. All the people in Pune, they go out in the ocean. They go fishing because they know how to fish. The people where I live in now, poor, the bugger always time. That's the only thing they know how to do. Oh, I'm going to drive Safeway. Oh, take too long, take 5 minutes. Really? Take all day to go fishing. You know, the thing is, Jesus said, follow me because I'm going to make you fishers of men. Don't go follow me to Safeway. You are supposed to get up and do what I do. That's what mentoring does. That passage that you just said, the king is of justice and the son is of righteousness. You cannot have a righteous person until you have a father of justice. And God is the father of justice against all inequities. Because what injustice you do for one is an injustice to everything. Because we had 666 Judaic laws. And the way that God works the laws is he says, you break one law, you break all the laws. You break one law, you break all the laws. So if I'm sinning for one law, I sin for everything. It's not, I only went bus one, but you know, get out of 665 left. No, the way the Bible tells us, sin is for us to remember that God put sin into place so that we can discover our sinful nature. God didn't put sin there to bash us down. God put sin so that we can discover ourselves. You know, some of us go, oh, I was checking out the chick, but I never touched her. So, oh, I never sinned. Evil thoughts are evil deeds. That's a sin. Oh, I was driving 46 miles an hour. It was 45 miles an hour zone. I was only 1 mile over, you know, what, nothing. That's a sin because we break the law. I don't care if you did it 1 mile or 40 miles over. You still broke the law. And in God's eyes, you break one law, you broke all 666 of the laws. So how do we, as our sinful nature, go, wow, that means that I cannot break nothing. And that's impossible because none of us sitting or standing here are able to do that. And so how are we saved? By this unbelievable word called grace. And that means that nobody need to give them to me, but God decided, I give them to you anyway. For those of you who get kids, sometimes your kids get naughty, right? Oh, you like pound them sometimes, but you know, can't. So, but you forgive them and you hug them. You know, speaking of kids, I'm sorry taking a long time. You know, speaking of kids, I used to think, whoever would create the phrase, spare the rod and spoil the child? That sure never come from over here. It must have came from someplace else. Because in the Bible, it also talks about that. And it says that the fathers, you can never get angry at your kids, because if you show your kids peace, then your kids' disposition will be that of peace. If you show your kids rage, your kids will grow up with rage. If you show your kids love, your kids will grow up with love. So they spare a rod and spoil a child thing, not in my vocabulary, because it ain't in the vocabulary of God's word. You get the thing? That's because us, stay over here with my iPad. Daddy, I like get something to eat. Wait, hold on. Daddy, I like. Wait, hold on. Ah! God funded your kid. You know what? Whose fault is that? Is that the kid's fault or your fault? It's your fault. He made himself? No, you made the baby. God helped you do this thing. So what? The idea is that we have to be a relational people. We have to be the relational people to get in together, which is what we're doing. We're communing. Remember Abraham and his wife, Sarah. What did God tell them? Go out. But the Hebrew part about it is what we don't understand because, you know, get caught in translation. When God told Abraham and his wahine, Go out, I will make you the father of all nations. Going out in Hebrew actually means go into yourself and find that thing inside of you that you can give to the world and go out with all of those giftings so that you may share your life as the living Bible of me. That's what going out means. So our mandate on the commission that Jesus says, all authority was given to me, not some, all authority. So that means that everything that Jesus says is authoritative. And so he says, therefore, go. You know what he said? Therefore, sit. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. I go, nations? I can't even make disciples of my friend down the road. That's where you start. Because that's mentoring. God is trying to mentor you so that you can go and start mentoring others. Because when you practice, you get better. You cannot just stand up and all of a sudden, oh, wow, I'm good. It takes years and years of practice and practice and practice to make you good. So the thing is to do it every day. We, hopefully, but if not, we can start today, do what we call daily devotional. We call it in the Hawaiian household, we call it ohana time. And it's only, you know, you can take 2 minutes, you can take 5 minutes, you can take 10 minutes, you can take whatever minutes you like. But it's to center yourself through the day and go, God, I don't know what's going to happen today, but I give my life to you, and wherever I go, I know that you will be with me. That's what ohana time is all about. So no need to take long. I mean, even if you do 30 seconds, maybe next week you do 31 seconds. Next week you do 32 seconds. But the thing is, practice make practice. And you just practice and make it better. So let's practice this one thing. I want you to repeat after me. I bless you now. In my God's name. I bless you now. In the name of the Son. I bless you now. By the Holy Spirit. And I pray for you. In the house of the Lord. So the first three lines easy, right? So, and I pray for you in the house of the Lord. And I pray for you in the house of the Lord. Okay? So, you can leave your eyes open, and I want you to start. Too high. Okay. This is how it goes. I bless you now in my God's name. I bless you now in the name of the Son. I bless you now by the Holy Spirit. I pray for you in the house of the Lord. Think you follow? I bless you now in my God's name. I bless you now in the name of the Son. I bless you now by the Holy Spirit, and I welcome you in the name of the Lord. Now, I want each of you to find a partner, and I know this is going to be rough, but I want you now to look at each person in the eye as we sing this next one, okay? I never tell you talk, I just said look. God said, be still and know that I am God. Right? We always like put ourselves in. Okay, here we go. Okay, now look each other in the eye and sing this to them. I bless you now. I bless you now. My God's name. I bless you now. In the name of the Son. I bless you. By the Holy Spirit. And I pray for you. And I pray for you. In the house of the Lord. One more time. I bless you now. In my God's name. I bless you now. In the name of the Son, I bless you now by the Holy Spirit, and I pray for you in the house of the Lord, and I pray for you. And I pray for you in the house of the Lord. And I pray for you. One more time. And I pray for you in the house of the Lord. May God bless you. May God's peace be with you. O kahaku o Yesu Kristo me kialo kalau na puano kauhane hemolele. Be peaceful. Be in God's love constantly. Amen.
That was good. How many of you are crying now? Oh. Like my wife would say, get black under my eyes. Oh. Thank you so much for that powerful word. Now, you know, some of the things that you said is really true. We need to go to our neighbors. And I think it, all of that begins with us looking in the mirror and being right with God and making that the first priority. Then we can go and be that example to everyone. Amen? Hey, we're going to take our missions offering so the ushers could be prepared. See, on the fifth Sunday of the month, when the months have a fifth Sunday, we take a missions offering, which we give to missionaries who are overseas. In either way, we give to the missionary or we support the missions press, which prints materials for our missionaries, like that Yes booklet that you see on the table. They print all these materials that they send out to missionaries. So we support these missionaries either way. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for today's word. Lord, thank you that we get to give to those who are called to go overseas, to countries where they can go and preach the gospel. And Lord, we may not be called, but we can give and we can support them. And even if we can't give monetarily, Lord, we can always lift them up and pray for them. And if, Lord, we cannot give, then I know we can pray. And let us make a point, Lord, to pray for those who give up the comforts of their home and to go to these countries and risk their lives just to preach your word. So Lord, let us lift them up constantly in prayer. We thank you that we get to do this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Hey, I know we got some people from Oahu over here. So if you live on Oahu, you know, hey, by all means, go check out Kahumakuakane. And you know what? If he's not there, he's probably over here.
Yeah.
So you can be P.O.'d. Perturbed, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday he talked about B.S., you know, the big stuff that we pile up. But, hey, we have some snacks. Go ahead, help yourself. Hang out, fellowship. I know if you want to say hi to Kahu, he would stick around for a little while. But if you got to go, hey, have a safe and happy new year. God bless you all.
You've been listening to our guest speaker, Pastor Kahu Kenneth Makuakane. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.